About mom, and after that, we are going to have some of our young men pass out some gifts to the moms that are here today as well. And so, kids, whoever's ready to give a testimony, come on up. All right, so I'll have you guys, let's form a line over here. All right, let's form a line right over here. You can come up this way. Hi, Emma. Come on. Go ahead. Over here.
Good. Mom, I love you and you love me. You give me food and you care. And everything needs you, like me, Bella, Ethan, Ariana, maybe Preston, but Dad, let me bring it down. Everybody.
Good job.
I love my mom because she loves me. She talks to me. She cares for me. She listens when I need to talk about my worries. She reads to me the Bible. She answers my questions about the Bible. She puts me to bed. She teaches me school. She cooks and cleans for me. And she takes me out to eat. She lets me read when Jesus is bothering me. She helps me when I'm sick. She reads to me about missionaries. She helps me ask God to be my Savior. And she helped me know that I want to be a missionary when I grow up. I love you, Mom.
Amen.
Without my mom, I wouldn't be here. She is a queen to me, and she loves me. She is beautiful, too. I am glad she is my mom, and she is so special.
My mom really, really loves us, and she takes care of us. She helps Daddy, me, Junior, and Ayana. I like going to church with her. I like going to the museum with her, too.
Amen.
I do want to clarify, the church is not a museum. Okay. Different.
You guys can go all together? Go ahead.
Because she loves God, she goes to church, she reads the Bible to us, and she helps us memorize our verses.
I'm thankful for my mommy because she takes good care of us. She chose to stay at home instead of getting a job, and she cooks wonderful food for us.
Because she dresses well, and she makes us laugh, and she has a good heart.
Frida wanted to say this, but she was too shy. One time, Mommy made a banana milkshake for us, and we loved it.
She always tells us that when we're sad to count our blessings.
I'm thankful that our mommy got us two dogs named Pascal and Bruna. And Pascal is white and fluffy, and Bruna is brown.
Amen. Yep.
I love my mom because she cooks dinner, she cleans the house, she loves me, she teaches me, and she takes care of everyone.
Amen. Amen. You got this, kiddo.
My mom is the best because she helps me put away my clothes. My mom is the best because she will help me with my homework. My mom is the best because she helps me tie my shoes.
Nuh-uh, my mom's the best.
Start a fight there, brother.
My mom's the best.
yes, because she helps me learn my verse. And always when she helps me learn my verse, I always remember it. And also she cooks good food instead of my sister. And she helps me. She's trying to help me learn how to tie my shoes.
Amen.
I don't have a paper, but that's okay. She's always there for me, even when I'm not really there for her. Yeah. And I really could not imagine life without her.
Amen. Sweet.
Okay, so I love my mom because she cleans the house, and she's always, like, so nice to me. Even though I, like, get angry at her sometimes, she's still very nice to me, and she still takes care of me, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. All right, Ethan. Can I help you with it? Okay. All right, buddy.
Dear Mom,
I love you.
I love you.
Because you're the best mommy.
Because you're the best mom.
And because you do school with us.
And you do school with us.
Yeah. Where's mommy? There she is, right there. Okay. Just making sure mom's actually here. I love you.
I love you.
Louder. Because.
Because.
You help us.
You help us.
Learn about plants and space.
Plants and space.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you.
Because you're good at Legos.
Because you're good at Legos.
I'm thankful.
You're thankful.
That you're here.
That you're here.
And you clean my owies.
And you clean my owies.
And look at Mama, say, you snuggle me.
You snuggle me.
And kiss me a lot.
You kiss me.
Say Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right, good job, buddy. Do you remember what you wrote?
I love my mom because she cares for me. She reads to me. She plays with me. She tickles me when I'm happy. She tickles me when I'm not happy. She buys me Tic Tacs. She cooks for me. She teaches me about the Bible. She answers my questions about the Bible. She snuggles with me in bed when I don't feel good. I'm thankful for my mom because she loves me. I love you, Mom.
Let me see that. Let me see that. Just so everybody knows, he actually picked all of those, except for two of them. But he's got very good handwriting, if you can see. No, he did actually sign his name to it, though, so that's good. Love you, buddy.
I'm thankful for my mom because you give me all lots of stuff I need. You make me lunch. You
take me to the park.
You cook my favorite food.
What is your favorite food?
Mac and cheese. You
watch fun movies with us.
You watch fun movies with us. You teach me fun school.
Thank you for helping me learn my Bible.
Thank you for helping me learn my Bible. Thank you for go. Thank you for having fun with me.
And doing puzzles.
And doing puzzles.
Thank you for throwing me.
Thank you for throwing me.
The best party ever. Mom, you're the best.
Mom, you're the best.
Say Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Good job, buddy. Do you need me to read yours for you?
I love my mom because she always takes care of me. She gave birth to me. She does a lot of things for me. I love you, Mom.
I just want to say Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. thank you for always being there and for caring for me and just cooking food for me and cleaning for me all the time when I don't clean. And I love you, Mom, and thank you for loving me, too. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Amen. Amen.
I was like a good pastor. I just wrote a couple of points. So, Mom, I've always loved our talks, and I've loved that you've taught me for all of my grades, and I can't believe we only have one more year left. Thank you for dealing with me. With all my awful phases and attitudes, I'm really sorry about that. And I know it's not easy to have an overly ambitious daughter all the time. So thank you for putting up with that. And I just wanted to say that you have not just been my mom. Recently, you have become more of a friend to me, and I feel like I can talk to you about anything. And I come to you about anything, and every Bible question that he can't answer, I come to you for. And I'm sorry. And I love you, Mom, so thank you.
Now, that was just supposed to be a couple points.
I don't really know how to start this. Not good with people. I have a lot to say, but not a lot of like words to explain how much I love my mom and how what like thankful I am for her. I honestly don't know who I would be today if it wasn't for my mom.
Yeah.
And all those times we get food and eat it in the car before we get home, so my brothers don't see. Sneaking around the house to throw it away so my brothers don't see us go in the house with the bag. The cooking together, the in the car singing K-Love together, singing our hearts out to God. Those times that we have those godly arguments, but also those arguments, but you still stick around. Our long talks, those car rides that we don't do anything but sit there and talk. Mm. Most of the time, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know my own handwriting. I don't know where I would be without my mom because she is amazing. And
Amen.
She helped me through a lot and showed me that I need God in my life. And without God, I can't really get anywhere.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Good job. In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Sorry?
No, don't do that.
First off, I want to say happy Mother's Day to every mom in here. Moms are amazing. And first off, I want to say thank you for my mom for everything. I am very thankful for her. Our house would be honestly a total mess. No one would ever have dinner. There would be just TV dinners day after day after day if it weren't for mom. But I'm thankful for everything, that I have clothes on my back, a roof over my head, a place where I can call home to and come to every day. Thankful for everything, from coming to church and sticking with it. And I don't know where I would be without it. And I just want to make you proud. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, so this is something that I will probably never, ever admit to. But as this is being recorded, I can never deny it. My mom is probably one of the smartest, wisest people I know. And I know a lot of wise guys. But she taught me that if you make a choice and things don't go out the way that you need them to, go back, do it the way she told you to from the beginning. Usually works. She taught me that if you say, I'm bored, really slowly, it sounds like I want to do chores.
Yeah. It's good.
And she also taught me that success in life isn't measured in cash. It's not measured in your social reputation. It's measured in your ability to not compromise and to have a truly successful life, to never compromise on what you believe.
Amen.
So thank you for teaching me that, Mom. And I am forever grateful for two things. One, for leading by example and how to do that. And two, for always being able to find my other shoe. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I just want to say thank you to my mom. She's the strongest woman I know. She's a single mom, and I know it's really hard for single moms out there. If anyone else in here is a single mom, and you're very strong. My mom is, like, so smart, so strong. She can get through anything, and I always look up to her for that because without her, I would probably fall apart.
Yeah.
She's my rock. I'm going to cry. I love her so much. She's always there for me whenever I need her. Yeah. She always has my back. She always sticks up for me. She always has my best interest in mind. Yeah. She always knows what's good for me and what's not. And always trust your mom because she's always right. So I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right about that.
Hi, Mom. I love you. I just want to say, without your cooking, we'll be eating pizzas for the rest of our life. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.
I don't have anything to roast. I apologize. I have a whole notebook full, but Mom, I'm so glad that we get a day in the year to honor you in all of your glory, because the other 364 days, you are most likely putting socks on our feet, reminding us to charge our phones, stuffing medicine down our throat, and spying on us from your Life 360 app. We hit to make sure we're safe, and we forget to thank you 90% of the time. So thank you. This is going to be hard. You are the closest thing to a perfect mom that anyone can ever have. We have never been very alike, but I think our differences make our relationship special. I want to honor you with my life. You have taught me to give when you know you won't get, to think outside the box, to live thoughtful in spite of unthoughtfulness, to rise when we fall in the mud of our mistakes, to cling to good friends, to cast out doubt, to love those that love us and that don't, to laugh at our own weaknesses, to dote on little ones and to hug our elders, to love rain, to remember the 80s and 90s and then never look back on the style choices, to watch Hallmark and eat chocolate in bed on Sunday afternoons, to make the man fetch you the water late at night so you don't have to get up, to consider God and all the wonderful things that he's given us. Thank you for letting us dress up the cat and dog when we were little. Thank you for buying us bathing suits, turning on the sprinkler, and supplying us with creamsicles. For teaching us to read and for making us memorize the presidents in order. For letting us get numerous pets and spending lots of money to keep them in the fence and alive. For trying to teach us to dance, even though it wasn't successful. For praying over me. For never letting on when we won an argument. For bouncing on the trampoline and reading to us on the porch. For caring when we were hurt because we sucked at sports or we had a bad music lesson or we fell off our bike and scraped our knee really bad. For loving Dad, loving Jesus, and loving us unconditionally. Only every now and then is there a slight condition. Thank you for being my mom. I will always have good memories of you, and I will only have good memories of you. You are beautiful, you are fun, and you get stuck on one album of music for months. It drives us all crazy, but we play it again because we love you. I know that you don't always feel like it, but you are a good mom. And I will always be your girl. I love you.
So free.
My mom every time take care of me and her bite us a lot of things. And my mom loves me all my heart because her takes care of me. Her feeds me food when I'm hungry. And her loves me all my heart. Aww. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
How old are you, buddy? You're five? All right. So in about 15 years, ladies, there's your pick right there. Your pick. All right. Did we overlook anybody? Mia, have you gone yet? You've already gone? Did I miss that? Somehow I missed that. Okay, I want to make sure. Oh, we have one more. Okay, it's up here, though.
Love you, Mom.
I recorded myself saying that, but it was not nearly as cute. That was beautiful. That's sweet. Everybody's already gone? Everybody gone? Gone through? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Your poem? Is this it right here? Because it kind of looks like it. Once Upon a Time? Come on up. That's all right.
Sorry, she was crying.
Okay. All right.
Once upon a time,
louder.
Once upon a time, I made Mama rhyme. She teached me all my phones, gave me ice cream without a cone. Oh, I do.
Can we help you with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
I made Mama rhyme.
I made Mama rhyme.
She teached me homophones.
Homophones. She teached me homophones.
And gave me ice cream.
Give me ice cream without a cone. Oh, I do with a wonderful mom like you. I will always love you, even to the moon. You're my mom. You're the bomb. You meet the family. Okay. Am I your favorite? Well, I'll let you think of it. You make me wiggle and giggle. You let me play every day. Also, how do you say, all right, happy Mother's Day?
I got one. You ready, Emma? In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playgrounds is where I spent most of my days. You guys don't want to go any further, do you? I could do it. I'm not gonna. All right. What we're going to do, just for the sake of time, is I'm going to ask every mom in just a moment to stand. We're not going to have the kids come up and give you their flowers. Now, on your way out, if you would, we'll give those to you on the way out of church today. But if all you moms that are here, would you stand real quickly for us? We just want to honor you just for a moment. Would you stand? All right. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. We appreciate you. Please make sure that you get your gift on the way out. All right. So let's see here. What I'll have is I'll have Isaac and who did I tell you, Isaac? Isaac and Lenny will help with the roses. We got roses for moms on the way out. All right. On the way out, moms, we got a little gift for you. Matter of fact, you know, let's flip that. Let's have you guys help with this because it's heavy, all right? Lenny, you want to come up and grab it now and just take it to the front of the door? All right? Flex the muscles for us, would you? This is your chance, man. All right. There you go. All right. I should have asked Isaac to flex. Is that right? Oh, okay. You're going to do very well in Pensacola, man. He's going to Bible school, or I went to school. He'll have fun there. And then we'll have Preston and Jameis, all right, you two boys this year, will help as the ladies are walking out at the end of the service. You'll give each mom a rose, okay? All right, so where are the roses? In the kitchen? All right, so we'll do that at the end, all right? We've got another something right now. Yes, no? All right. All right. All right, ladies.
All right, we missed your appreciation back in March, and we wanted to make up for it because you mean so much to all of us. Without you, there would be so much that doesn't go on around here that most people don't recognize. And I know my life would not be the same without you. And there's things that you say that, Pastor, if he had said it, I would have looked the other way and been like, you're just a man, you don't know. But there are some really hard things that you've taught me over the years, and I know that there's many out here that can say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we just want to present you with some gifts and some wonderful cards that the ladies have put together for you and the beautiful flowers.
Thank you guys so much.
You're going to need a therapy. There's water in there, I think.
Say something. Okay. Come on up.
Thank here, you for all that you that do. Thank you.
Will you try
and
come up here?
For
sure. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man, sorry. I wasn't prepared for all of this. The Mother's Day and then this. Thank you, ladies, so much. Being a pastor's wife is a blessing and honor. And I wanted to be a pastor's wife because of Cindy, because I watched her as a pastor's wife. And it's what the Lord has called me to do, and I love it. And I love each and every one of you ladies. And I really do hope to make an impact in your lives. And I appreciate all of you. You make this church what it is, all of you. So thank you. Thanks.
Do you want me to carry this to your
sister? Sure. All right, well, last week I got surprised. I got to get you back, so we got to turn that around. Let's go ahead and do this at this time, unless I'm overlooking anything else that we have not done yet. Let's get to our Bibles. Is that okay? Amen. All right, let's go to Matthew 15, rather. Matthew chapter 15. If you'd like to stand with me, please do. Matthew 15. I'm going to bring you a message about a mother's faith, a mom's faith. And for those that can stand, you're welcome to join me at this time. Matthew 15. Stretch your legs a little bit. Matthew 15. And at the close of the message, we will have those that are dedicating their children come on up after our invitation. Matthew 15. Look with me, if you would, at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And if you are a theologian and you have the ancient manuscripts and you go back to the original Greek, you know that what that means literally is that she's a teenager. She's vexed with the devil. Can I get a witness, mothers? Amen. There we go. I'm kidding, all right, I'm kidding. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent unto but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I love this answer. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Brother Jose, would you open us up in a word of prayer?
Worshiping you, Lord, and we need more women and mothers like that in this world, Lord.
women that have the faith as the women in this book that we're about to read, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for them again, Father, and I just pray that you bless the message, Lord, and bless the rest of our day.
Amen. Amen. Now listen, you can be seated. I'm going to talk fast if you can listen fast. Can we agree on that?
Amen.
All right. Contrary to what my daughter said, I can talk fast and I may not have 2 points, but we'll get through it quickly. All right. This morning, let me just say this. This lady in this passage of scripture is one that stands out for a number of reasons. What you learn from looking at the life of Jesus Christ is that when people think that they don't need him, he does not force himself on them. A matter of fact, when someone is self-righteous and they ignore the fact that they have a need, Jesus will oftentimes just walk on by. But when somebody recognizes that they have a need, Jesus will stop what he's doing and he will address that need. Let me just say this, moms, you need the Lord in your life. And you may not be a mom, but you can learn something from this woman. And Jesus said that her faith was great. Over in another place in the Gospels, there's a mom who's dealing with the loss of a child, and they tell this mother and this father, they say, trouble not the master. In other words, don't trouble Jesus with your problems. He's busy with other stuff. And as soon as Jesus heard them say, trouble not the master, he's like, hey, I want to be troubled with your troubles. I want to know what your issues are. I want to serve you. You say, what is that? That's the difference between a God that's made up in religion and the God of the Bible. God as a man named Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He felt our humanity. And he sees these mothers throughout the Gospels that will come to him with their problems. Oftentimes, not their own issues, but the issues of their kids. And Jesus will take time with those moms. Let me just say, it was not her career. It was not her beauty. It was not her sense of fashion. Man, I'm glad that one of the kids was like, I love how my mom dresses well. I thought that was great, you know? But it wasn't any of those things on the it wasn't her education. It wasn't her great speaking ability. Jesus looks at this one. As a matter of fact, everybody else in this passage is like, get her out of here. She's loud. She's obnoxious. Lord, help me. Lord. Help. I mean, there's a crowd of people. She is jumping up and down, trying to get the Lord's attention. It's almost obnoxious. Have you ever been around someone that's just loud, and they're so loud, they're trying to get someone's attention? It's like, hey, just shut up. You're shouting over me. I don't want to hear this right now. That's what's going on. Look, if you would, at verse 23. Look what the disciples say. The disciples say about this woman to Jesus, send her away. We don't want her around. Aren't you thankful that Jesus isn't like people? I mean, this woman comes to Jesus with her problems, with her child's problems, and she comes in with that. And the disciples are the first ones to say, get her out of here. We don't want to deal with her right now. I'm thankful that Jesus stops and pays attention to our issues. This thing that Jesus points out that was great about her was nothing that, in light of what we would look at today and say, that makes greatness. We would look at Time and Life magazine and the news articles and media and social media to describe and to maybe define for us the image of a successful woman. Let me just say this right now. I've heard this phrase before, the working mom. Every mom is a working mom. If you're doing it right, you're hustling, ladies. And we appreciate that. We thank you for what you do. But the world's idea of what success is for you ladies, Jesus never, when he talks about greatness, it is nowhere near where the world says greatness is found. You know where Jesus says greatness is found? In your faith. He says about this woman, great is thy faith. And it was that faith that allowed her daughter to become whole. I think of a woman in the Old Testament that the Bible says she was a great woman. We don't know her name. You say, what's her first name? Great. What's her last name? Woman. The Bible says about this woman of Shunem, she was a great woman. And here's what we learn when you study 2 Kings 4. She had great hospitality. She had great discernment. She made great accommodations for the preacher. She had great humility, and her desire was great. You know what her desire was? It was not to be noticed. It was not to be, you know, the most beautiful, the most attractive mom, the most hip mom. And let me just say this right now. We need moms to be moms. All right? Don't try to be hip and cool and try to, you know, do what the kids are doing. Show the kids that they're dumb and they need to follow some instructions. You, listen, we were all, come on, can I get a witness there? I'm not trying to pick on you, but they're trying to lower the voting age to 16. Anybody remember what they did when they were 16? I mean, I look back at myself at 16 and go, how did I not die? There are times I look at my boys and I say, why'd you do that? I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm just saying this right now. Moms, you go through so much, you deal with so much, and it's not the idea that you have to be what the kids are today, or you have to be what the world makes your image to be, or you got to keep up with somebody else's idea of what greatness is. Quit measuring yourself by other standards and look at what God says is great. Amen. When God says something, let me just say this. What we think is great 20 years ago, we now look at. Anybody remember certain diets and certain fads? Remember taking raw eggs and putting them in a blender and just drinking the raw eggs for the protein? Now they're like, don't, that'll kill you, salmonella, you're going to die. Right? And then there was the this fad and that diet and that, all the things that we look back on it. Remember aerobics, ladies? Remember the aerobic, you know, the kind of like, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, and the little socks, remember the weights around your feet that you'd walk around in like this? You know, you do your exercises. You have, and like, that was so cool. When you look back at things, you go, why did we do that? What the world calls great today, we will laugh at tomorrow. I've got some ladies in here that remember the 80s and 90s. Remember the high thing right in the front like that? Remember the Aquanet? You had a Some of you are solely responsible for killing our environment by yourselves. Missed the spot. I mean, there are things that we look back on, we go, what was I thinking? And let me just tell you, for those who are trying to revive the mullet, would you just not? Oh, man. What I'm getting at is this, what the world calls great today, we laugh at tomorrow. Is that not true? So ladies, you cannot define your greatness based on pop culture. You've got to define it by something more meaningful and deeper than that. Rather than looking around and going, what do they think is great? And what do they think is great? And what do they think? You got to say, okay, Lord, what do you call great? And Jesus looked at this woman and he said, man, everybody else is annoyed by her. Nobody else wants her around. But man, I see something in her that is great. You say, what was it? It was her faith. You know, faith is defined in the Bible. Faith is not Disney princess fairy tale, what I call fairy tale logic, which is basically this. It feels so good, and my heart wants it, so I'm going to follow my heart. That is not what faith is. Faith is not this obscure, abstract, you know, I just have faith. You know, if we just believe. Believe in what? I don't know. Just pick up whatever you want. That's not what faith is. Faith is defined scripturally for us. The Bible says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I would say it like this, when someone tells me, you believe in God and you can't see him? I would say, yes. Yes, I do. I said, do you believe in the designer of your car? Do you know him? Someone made that thing. Billions of years ago. In a Volkswagen factory, there was a large explosion, and the steering wheel popped into place, and the brakes popped into place, and the electronics just said, boom, it was right there. It was like, whoa, supernatural. You talk about faith. That's faith right there, but it's not found. Think about this. The evidence of things not seen. The Bible tells us that we, by looking at nature, creation teaches us and shows us that there is a God. By looking at that which is designed, you automatically know there is a designer. Faith is not this like random thing. I just believe it. It's looking and saying, you know what? I can't see it, but I know something was there. The evidence of things not seen. Faith has a channel. Some of you are like, yep, it's the up channel. No. I mean like a channel biblically. You say, what is it? So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the... You know what that means? That means if you were going to have the right kind of faith, It has to be channeled through the right medium. The right medium for your faith is not your emotions. It is not your feelings. It is not pop culture. And I promise you, if you're in your 20s and 30s right now, what you think is cool now, in 20 years, you will laugh at. You will look at pictures on Instagram when it's, you know, and in the future, it's going to be like, hey, you want to see some pictures? Yeah. Pew. Right? And you're going to be like, look at that. Look at my hair. What was I thinking? You know what you were thinking? What you're thinking right now, which is, I got to look cool to everybody else. What I'm getting at is this. Your faith, what you decide and base your life on cannot be with the whims of time and culture. It has to be based on what God says. It never changes. I can go to this book a year from now and the same words will be there. I don't have to revise it. I just need to reread it. Faith is our purpose. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You say, what does that mean? That means you are designed, you are purposed to live by faith. You cannot live the life that God desires and designed for you without it. He says about this woman, her faith was great. You know, mothers, it starts from the moment that you can't see the baby, but something inside of you is making you throw up in the morning. And by faith, you believe someone is there. Am I right about that? God, I know you can help me guide their lives even though I don't feel like I can. God, I know you can do something with them. God, I want to kill them, but your word says I can't. So by faith, I will let them live, right? Yeah. Yeah. God, I'm praying they don't turn out like Daddy. God, would you help them? Hey, all joking aside, you know it takes great faith? Great faith to be a mom. And I'll say this, it takes great faith to live the Christian life. Amen. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven. You know it doesn't take but the size of a grain of mustard seed to get saved. You just have to understand what everybody in this room already knows. None of us are perfect. Yeah, right. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You look at yourself and you know the things you've done, the skeletons in the closet, the sins that you hope nobody else knows about, and you know that inside of you there's a conscience, and if that conscience is there, somebody put it there, and you will give account of that to that somebody someday. And I'll tell you right now, it's much better to have God as your lawyer than your judge. And what Jesus promises every soul in this room is if you are willing to turn from your own righteousness and say, you know what, I know that I'm religious or I'm trying to be a good person, but man, when I compare my life to the life of Jesus Christ, I fall short. I mean, come on, guys. The Bible says, Jesus said this, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. Jesus says, if a man hates his brother without a cause, he's guilty of murder. You know what the Bible says about your tongue? Do I need to go on? We are all sinners that have fallen short of the glory of God. And when I look at myself in the mirror, I cannot with a straight face say, I've been tempted in all points, like as you are, yet without sin. But Jesus could. And when I look at the life of Jesus Christ, I know by faith that because he loved me enough to die for me, and he was buried, and he rose again, and nobody else throughout history has ever laid claim to that, that is my Savior. And I'll tell you right now, that's all it takes to get saved. But I'll tell you what, if you want to live the Christian life, you want to go beyond salvation and actually live out the disciples' life as a believer, it takes faith. Do you know the African impala can jump 10 feet high? But do you know that they're kept in zoos with 3-foot walls? You know why? If they see a barrier in front of them and they don't know where their feet are going to land, they don't jump. You know how a lot of believers live their lives? Like that. God intended you to go further, but you're just bound by what you can see. And let me tell you this right now, whether you are a mom or you're a young man or you're a child, to live the life that God designed and desired for you, it takes faith. You know what this woman sought? She sought healing and restoration and peace in her life that she could not have had without Jesus Christ. That's what she sought that day. Now, I don't know what everybody's situation is in this room, but I'll say this. We need more healing in this world. We need more restoration in this world. We need more peace inside of us. You know, the peace that comes from within, it's not like Jesus says, I give you peace. Not as the world giveth it. You know how many peace treaties mankind has broken in the last 100 years? Too many to count. You know what I'm getting at? You need a different kind of peace. You know what you need? You need a peace that comes from within. And that peace that comes from within comes from knowing that your sins are paid for. They are put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And once you're a born again child of God, knowing that what God has told you to do, even though it seems impossible to get over that 3-foot wall, it's the best thing for your life. But it takes faith to do that. It takes faith. You know what this woman did? She expressed her faith. And she didn't care what anybody else thought. Everybody else is going, shut up. If this lady was alive today and they videotaped her and put her on IGTV, everybody's saying, what is her problem? Why is she yelling? I mean, what's her deal? What is she, some kind of Jesus freak yelling for Jesus to help her? I mean, have you not gone? You know what you need to understand if you're thinking that way? You know what you need to understand? Some people look at Christians, they go, they think they're so self-righteous. Nope. I was so broken, I needed a Savior. I was so sin sick, I needed a spiritual doctor to help me. It wasn't so much that I think I'm better than somebody else. Listen to me right now. You will never get away from self-righteous nature. You're gonna fight it for the rest of your life. You know what people do? I hate those church people. You know why? Because they're self-righteous and they're judgmental. But if you don't recycle, you're a jerk. And if you don't believe in climate change, you're a you-know-what. Listen, I don't care what you believe about any of that stuff. That's not my point. The point is, you are just as self-righteous as every Christian you despise. You just think you're better than somebody else, and you disguise it in a different way. Self-righteousness is a human trait, not a Christian trait. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only way to get past it is to look at yourself in light of who Jesus Christ is. This mom did exactly that. Let me say this, number one. This mom's faith led her to ask for mercy. You know what mercy is? That benevolence, that mildness or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries. It is pity, compassion manifested toward a person in distress, clemency and bounty, charity, or the duties of charity and benevolence. You know what that is? Mercy is simply this. I'll put it in layman's terms. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. You know what grace is? God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy's not getting what you do deserve. My kid gets in trouble, does something they know mom, dad, tell them not to do. And if by chance, I realize the situation is one of those where it requires a little bit of mercy and the punishment is not inflicted, you say, what is that? That's mercy. You know what God expresses to us every single day? Mercy. His mercies are new every single day. This mom's faith did not have her get up and say, I demand justice. You know why? You don't want justice. You know justice leads every one of us to a place called hell. You say, I don't believe that. You're free to believe whatever you want. It's a free country. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's this thing called gravity. I don't believe in it. Okay. It's fine. Free country. Believe whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, that which is not sustained, thank you, sir, with an outside force eventually goes down. And without the hand of God being involved in your life, without the hand of God saying, you know what? Yes, they've sinned against me. Yes, they've broken my commandments. Yes, they've broken my law. But when I look over at Jesus Christ, my son manifested in the flesh, and I see that he acclaims them as one of his, you know what I say? I say mercy. Thank God for that. This lady's faith did not stand up there and go, I demand you pay attention to me. Uh-uh. You know what she says? Look, if you would, at verse number 22. She says, have mercy on me. You know, by asking for mercy, you know what that implies? I don't even deserve your help. You know what Jesus said about her? Great faith. The mantra today is believe in yourself. You're the best. And let me just say this. I can love you. I can appreciate you. But I'm going to tell you right now, just ask this question to yourself. Have I ever been wrong about anything? Okay, so can you just put all your faith in you? Or is there something greater than you that gave you the life that you have? And that God is saying, listen, I will acknowledge you. I will acknowledge you when nobody else does, because you are asking for mercy. You know what the Bible says in Micah? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know what the Lord likes? I'll tell you this. You know what we talk about? When I was a kid, I always used to get real bad mosquito bites, especially when I went to Puerto Rico, man. I mean, just welts. I relived it about 2 months ago. I'm looking at her. She's like, I got like this one little bite. She's like, ooh, I got a bite. I'm like, my legs are swollen. So when I was a kid, I would walk out and my mom would just, thank God for moms, right? I'd walk out like this and she'd go, shh, you know, the insect repellent. Do you know what God repellent is? It's pride. When you are enough and you say, I will, and you say, I don't need God, you know what that God says? Okay. You know what God is? He's a gentleman. He never forces himself on anybody. He doesn't want to control you. Somebody recently asked me, not here at church, somebody outside of this space, they said, I'm really struggling with this thing, and I want to understand, if God is so good, then why did this happen? And the best answer I can say is, God gave us all free will. Let me ask you a question. If God controlled the situation and did not let you decide, and he forced you to do what you were supposed to do, you know what you'd call God? A dictator. And then whenever he lets us have free will and we make a mess of it, where was God? Can I say it like this? God desires to be with those who recognize their need. Jesus said it like this: those that be sick need not a physician. Right? In other words, if you don't recognize your need, you don't need me. Do you know what this mom realized? I've tried everything else. I've tried what the doctors had to say. I tried what the experts had to say. Man, I did like burning of incense and sage around her. You know, I did all the stuff that they told me to do. You know, I tried to get her to meditate. I tried all this different stuff. And she still got this problem. I tried what everybody else told me to try. Lord, if you don't have the answer, I don't know that there is one. You know what she cried for? Mercy. You know, God and pride is kind of like oil and water. Remember Dathan and Abiram? They say, do you think God only spoke to Moses? You know what God does? He opens up the earth and swallows him. Can you imagine talking behind the preacher's back and all of a sudden there's an earthquake? Like, down you go. It's like, that's a really dramatic, you know, way to do it. But God does not care for pride. How about the Pharisees? You know what he does with the Pharisees? You know what he does with Pilate? What is truth? Because it wasn't a real question. It was a justification for me not believing the truth that was right in front of me. You know what God does? He will pass by someone that doesn't recognize their need, and he will stop, and he will move heaven and earth to minister to those that recognize they have one. You say, what is that? Mercy. You know what it took? Humility. It takes humility to acknowledge you need mercy. You know that? You understand that? Someone one time asked Winston Churchill, aren't you amazed at the thousands of people that gather to hear you give a speech? Isn't it amazing? Don't you swell with pride? He goes, anytime I'm tempted to swell with pride, I just imagine how many would gather if it was for my public hanging. You know what the idea is here, folks? Humility goes a long way. You know what having kids does? It reframes your world perspective. When you have kids, let's be honest, moms and dads, moms are here this morning, want to honor you. When you have that kid and you realize, man, I don't have all the answers and this kid is far from perfect and God, I just need some help. Can any moms in here ever feel that way? Amen. Can I tell you this? You have a Savior that listens and cares. The psalmist says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, just like this woman did. Let me point out to you, look if you would at verse 22. You know, when you first have that baby, you hold that innocent baby in your arms, you go, man, what an angel, right? And then you can't wait. You're like, oh, listen, the first time they make, you know, and then they got that little chubby rose on your legs. Don't you wish it was still cute when you were 40? I do. You know, and they got little chubby rolls, and they could spit up, and it's like, oh. If an adult spits up, it's vile. Right? You look at that baby and think, man, what? This is God's gift to the planet. And he used me to bring it to everybody, so you're welcome. And then they start to talk. And you're like, this is the devil. This is my husband's fault. Whoa. We'll do marriage counseling later. Can I say this? Emotions are from God. You know that? Emotions are not bad. God is emotional. Emotions can be used to glorify God, but let me just say this. Emotions, if they are the driver, the sole driver of our decisions over that which is truth, you're in trouble. Do you know what no mom wants to acknowledge to another human being? My kid has a problem. Or my kid is a problem. Right? I mean, I've said this before, but it's so true. You know, you get a mom that gets up and like, man, pray for my son. He got with the wrong crowd. I've been looking for that wrong crowd. It doesn't exist. Because every mom will get up and say, my kid got with the wrong crowd. Anybody know where the wrong crowd is? Anybody? Because a kid keeps getting with them. No kid is the wrong crowd, apparently. But they get sucked into the wrong. Nobody wants to admit, I've got a problem. Because when I acknowledge that my child has a problem, what I'm saying is, I've got a problem. This mom's faith led her to the realization that her kid was not perfect. Look, if you would, at verse 27. You know what jumps out at me? She said, what? Do you know what you need over your feelings? Truth. She did not ignore her kids' issues. Listen to me, moms. She did not project them as somebody else's problem. She did not, I mean, a kid gets in trouble. I mean, Brother Billy, you probably remember this. You got in trouble at school. When you went home, was your dad like, well, let's go talk to that teacher and straighten them out? Or was he like, son, you're going to meet with me behind the shed? Yeah, a little bit more like that last one, right? We're in a generation where if the kid does something wrong at school, they come home, mom's like, well, I'm going to give that teacher. Maybe the reason why you're doing this, because you don't want to acknowledge your kid's not perfect. None of us are. And if you wait till they're 18 to realize they're sinners, you've waited too long. You know what a kid needs from the very beginning? To be taught the center of the universe is not them. To be able to get up. You know, it's hard for the kids to get up here and give testimonies. You know, it's really hard. It's challenging. You know what it does for them? It teaches them to get over their emotions. Say, man, this is hard. I'm nervous. I don't want to do this. I'm crying, whatever the case might be. But I'm going to minister to my mom. We need to teach them that. You know what kids are not? They're not perfect. As wonderful as they are. Moms, you may have the greatest kids in the world, but they're not perfect. Do you know what you need to do with the Lord? Get with the Lord and say, Lord, here's what the issues are. I can't fix all of these on my own. And if we're honest about it, you didn't make all of them on your own. Kids have a free will. Well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, do not depart from it. Do you forget it says when he is old? Right. Define old. Anything over 40. That's where I'm at right now. Ask me next year, I'll say anything over 41. All right? What I'm trying to get at is this. It is not a matter of they will never go against me. They will never depart. They will never mess with the world. They'll never test the water. It does not say that. It says when they are old, they will not depart from it. In other words, listen, moms and dads alike, you need to understand, your kids are not sinless. The first couple, Adam and Eve, had kids. One of the kids killed the other kid. Think about how dysfunctional the book of Genesis is. The first family has a murderer in it. Who did he kill? His brother. You ever want to kill your brother Isaac? Don't do it. Leonard, how about you? Yeah. Rebecca and Isaac have Jacob and Esau. I mean, this is the first book of the Bible. First family has the brothers. One brother kills the other one. Jacob and Esau, one lies about who he is, dresses up like he's the other brother, tries to imitate like he's the other brother, steals the blessing, steals the birthright, and runs for his life. You talk about this. Mom is taking sides over one kid over the other. The Bible shows us from the beginning. There's no book like this book that shows us who we actually are. From the very beginning, you know what you realize? Families. I mean, I love when people go, oh, I don't want you to meet my family. They're dysfunctional. I'm like, welcome to the club. Is this like a contest to see who's more dysfunctional? My dad, you know what he did? And you know what my mom did? I mean, it's really crazy. Listen, the reality is it's always been like that. You're dealing with human nature. What I want you to understand, though, is this. In the midst of all that dysfunction, we realize our kids need God. They don't need less of the Lord. They need more of him. I didn't say they need more religion. I said they need more of God. I'm not talking about just giving them a list of rules and conditions by which to live, but showing them who the living and true God is by your faith. Amen. Mom's faith persists on getting through to God. Look if you with me, if you would, at verse number 23. The disciples say, get her out of here. Then the Bible says, Jesus himself says, hey, I'm not sent but in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is a Gentile woman. And Jesus goes, you know what? My ministry's to my own people first. But look at what she says in verse number 27. After he says, I can't take from the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let me just say this right now. If cameras were following Jesus in 2021, they would have hung him. They would have called him a racist. They would have misunderstood what he was saying. They would have taken all these things out of context, and they would have just exploded over on CNN and Fox News and Instagram. Everywhere else you can find the news, you would find out that Jesus hated this woman, this poor, underprivileged Gentile. That wasn't what was going on. He was extracting something out of her that he couldn't even get out of his own people. You know what he says about her? I have not found faith like this in all of Israel. Here's this lady by herself screaming at the top of her lungs. The church people don't want her around. Jesus tells her, I've got other things to do first. But you know what I realize? She doesn't stop. Parents, can I say this? Moms, never quit praying for your kids. Amen. They are going to need it for the rest of their lives. And let me just say this. If you prayed about something, you go, well, I prayed about that. Pray again. And pray again, and pray again, and pray again, and pray again. You know what it was? She did not let go. She didn't demand and say, you better listen to me. You know what she says? Lord, whatever you say, I'll take it, but I'm here for my kid. They need you, and Lord, I'm not leaving until I get help from you. Lord, verse 25, Lord, help me. You know what she did? She worshiped him in the midst of her problems. That's what faith leads us to do. Can I point out to you in verse 25, she didn't worship him after she heard him say, your daughter's healed. She worshiped him before. You know what we oftentimes do? God, when you give me what I want, I'll worship you. When you fix my husband and he needs it, Lord, I'll worship you. Lord, when you fix my kids, then I'll worship you. You know what she did? She just said, Lord, I don't care how stupid I look. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm going to lay hold of your feet. And God, would you please help me. You're the only one that can do it. Can I point out to you when it says that she worshiped him, she didn't break out with a band and music and sing, our God's an awesome God. She didn't do any of that. You know what she did? She just laid down at his feet and said, Lord, help me. You know why that's worship? Because you're acknowledging he's the one that can help you. Mom's faith persists on getting through to God. Mom's going to ask you, will you persist? Will you keep going? Amen. What if your kids don't do right? Will you keep going? Amen. What if your husband doesn't do right? Will you keep going? Amen. Hey, let me flip that around. Gentlemen, will you keep going? Let me say this, young people. When your parents blow it because they're going to blow it because they're human, are you going to quit on God because your parents blew it, or are you going to keep going? Amen. What I'm getting at is, hey, listen, you know what great faith does? It persists on getting through to God. I've had people that have gotten saved in our church, and I can tell they're nervous about praying out loud because they've not prayed like that before. And I just remind them, listen, when Peter was walking on the water and he saw the wind boisterous, the Bible says that he fell. And when he fell in that water, he reached his hand up. And the only thing he could say, he did not say, Lord, I thank thee for the great and wondrous, marvelous works that thou hast done in the midst of these thy seas. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, help me. Can I just say, the Lord's not concerned with a real long pontification type of prayer. He just wants to know that you need his help. A mom's faith makes a world of difference. Look, if you would, at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Can I show you, Jesus acknowledges her faith in verse 28, her prayers answered in verse 28, her daughter's made whole in verse 28. Do you know where all the hard work was at? The ridicule, the rejection, and the commitment to keep coming back to the Lord, even though it didn't seem like she was getting what she wanted right away. That was the hard work. Mothering is hard work. Biblical motherhood is not easy. It is looking at the rest of the world and going, that's how they're doing it. I'm not judging them, but I can't jump on the crazy train with them. I've got to do what I know my God wants me to do for the sake of what's best for my children. You want to make a difference? You won't get put on a magazine. You're not going to get put on the newspaper. But if God acknowledges you as great, you're great. I mean, I'm not picking on the man, but remember Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Anybody ever talk to that guy or see videos of that guy later on in life? He couldn't barely put two sentences together from all the hits to the head. I'm not making fun of him. It's not my point. The point is this, that which we think is great fades over time. But if God says something is great, it lasts forever. Moms, you want to be great? Be like this woman. Well, I can't believe that woman went to God, and God looked at her and said, I can't help you right now. I'm busy with somebody else. And she came back and said, Lord, you're right. You're right, Lord. I get what you're saying. But you know what? If you just throw the crumbs my way, I'll take them. Most of us don't have the character to say something like that. She did. You know what Jesus says? Great is her faith. You know what you're doing? If you're here right now and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you're going to think in your mind? I'm not that bad of a person. I hope my good works outweigh my bad works. I never kill anybody. I've never done anything really, really bad. I mean, the people on death row, like, those are the bad people. I pay my taxes. I try to help my neighbor. But the reality is this. When you sit back and you understand who Jesus is, and you compare yourself to him, he's the only one out of 7 billion people on the planet that you should ever really compare yourself to is Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you realize, I don't measure up. And when I can't measure up, regardless of how I feel about it, my religion, how I was raised, my ideology, I will sit there and I will fall on his knees and I will say, Lord, save me. Amen. You know what will keep you from doing that? Your pride. Can I say this to every parent and every mom? You know what will keep you from falling at the knees at the feet of Jesus Christ and asking for his help with your kids? Pride. Can I say what will keep you from taking the next step in the Christian life that God wants for you and has for you? Pride. The Bible says that her daughter was made whole. Can you imagine? I don't know where her daughter was, but she got home, she saw a new kid. When she got home, her daughter looked normal again. Her daughter was smiling. She was joyful. She was the little girl that her daughter and her mom remembered. Everything was different. Can I say this? If you're lost without Jesus Christ, you know what the promise of God is to you? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the promise. He or she had tried other things and other ways of trying to help her daughter, but meeting Jesus was different. And it changed her daughter's life. and it made her whole. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about these 10 lepers that are sitting outside the gate, and they cry out to Jesus and say, "Lord, would you cleanse us?" And Jesus says, "Go show yourselves to the priests, and and when you've done that, you know, let me know what happens." And he says, "Listen, when he told them to go show themselves to the priests, all of a sudden they look down on the way there and they realize, I don't have leprosy anymore." Now, if you don't know what leprosy is, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but I'll tell you what, leprosy is an awful disease. And I've seen videos of leper colonies where the people have like stubs on their hands, Christians, some of them, grabbing a magnifying glass to turn the pages of their Bible, and with the one eye they still have left, squinting to read the words of God. Just an awful disease that just erodes the flesh. Here these people are, they're crying out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us." He cleanses them, and on the way the priest, they look down, they go, "I've been clean. I've been made clean." You know what happens when you get saved? You look down, you realize, man, I'm a different person, and it's because of Jesus Christ. But you know what's interesting about that whole thing? 10 of them went, only one came back. And you know what that one got to hear from Jesus? You know what he heard from Jesus? "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Do you know what that one, now listen, all 10 of them were cleansed, but I wonder if those other 9 for the rest of their life woke up every morning and looked down and go, "Is today the day it comes back? Is today the day it comes back?" That one guy that went back and gave glory to God and said, "Lord, thank you for what you did." Do you know, for the rest of his life, he gets to wake up and go, "I know I'm clean. He told me, I heard his voice. He said, I've been made whole." You know what I want in my life? To be whole. You're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. And if you ate organic for the rest of your life and sweat every day for an hour and worked out, which maybe you should, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm simply saying, if you did that for the rest of your life, and you were lost without Jesus Christ, you go to a place called hell. That's right. Jesus says, "What shall profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Hey, listen, let me say this. As a believer, even after salvation, your spirit can be grieved. Your spirit can be downcast. If you want a whole spirit and a whole mind and a whole soul, the whole package, if you will, Jesus says, "I came to give life and to give it more abundantly." If you want that, do you know what you ought to do? Learn from this lady's example. So I don't know if I could do what she did. I think if we realized our own condition and our need a little bit further, we would learn to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ a little bit more often. Do I have any moms in the room that look at their kids and go, "I want for them better than what I had"? Amen. I think every mom. Do you know how you do it? Getting your kids to Jesus. Amen. Whether you're a mom or whether you're not, I know this much. We all need to be made whole. Amen. And because of her great faith, she experienced it. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. As a piano player plays, just for a moment, the Lord has spoken to you individually today. Would you return the favor? You know what communication is? It's a two-way street. It's someone speaking, someone listening. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the Lord has dealt with you. Would you come? Father, this morning I pray that, this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of your people. Lord, we recognize it's Mother's Day. But Lord, there are eternal consequences to what we discussed today as well. For good and for bad. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they might consider being made whole from the inside out. A new start at life. The greatest reset button ever made, salvation. Lord, I pray for these moms. Lord, I pray you give them the character to withstand the pressures of this world, to be conformed into the image of what the world wants them to be, not what you call is great. God, I pray that every mom in here would desire the wholeness of their children, and every mom in here would exercise great faith. Would you help them? Or would you bless? We've got some great moms here. Lord, some of them have been through some hard, hard things. Some of them are going to face some hard things, and they're going to need all the faith they have. God, would you help them today to make a decision? This is not just a message about a mom that was great and a nice message and we go home. Lord, there's a decision to be made to exercise the faith the way that she did. Would you help them? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll have our child dedication here in a moment. But let me just say this, don't be in a rush. God spoke to you. Talk back. It's just common courtesy when someone talks to return the favor. And that's what the invitation is, an opportunity for you to talk with the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Adrian, I know I'm a born-again child of God. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, aren't you glad you're saved? Isn't that awesome? Not because you're a good person or better than somebody else, but because what Jesus did for you. Now, if you're here and you've never been born again, would you be honest enough? This is quiet time. This is a special, unique time where not everybody's looking around, but between you and God, would you be honest enough between you, God, and the preacher to say, I don't know if I've ever been born again. Or, you know what, let me go a step further. I know I'm lost. Is there anybody here that's honest enough, like this woman was, to come to Jesus and say, I've got a need? If you're here and you've never been born again, would you be honest enough with God? Slip up your hand. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Amen. See that hand. Amen. 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 Let me just say this. If you've never taken the step to be born again, I want to make this very clear. The day will rush on. We will have the dedication. You're going to go to lunch. Time with family will be great. But before all of that takes place, it would be a shame for someone to go to church, know what eternal life is, or at least hear about it, and leave without being able to accept it. Let me make it very simple for you. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you realize you're a sinner and you recognize that there's a consequence for sin, the wages of sin is death, and I don't want to die eternally in the lake of fire, which is what the Bible says in Revelation 20. Now, some of you might go, that's harsh, preacher. Why would God do that? Think of it this way. Why would you not take the way out if God's telling you that's where you're going? There's an escape. And let me explain this too. If God allowed sinner's nature into heaven, heaven would become the hell that earth has become for so many. He's not going to do it. He says, listen, I'll allow you in. There's one condition. You have to be sinlessly perfect. Well, guess what? None of us are. So he says, you know what you can do? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If by faith you're willing to acknowledge you can't save yourself, there's a payment and a penalty for your sin, and it's eternal. If you acknowledge that, and you're willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the only one that can pay it for you, and you ask him to save you, you can be born again. You go, it's that simple? Absolutely. When I got saved, you know what my prayer was like? It went something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But you loved me enough to die for me. And Lord, you orchestrated everything to get me to church today, and here I am. I heard it. I want to believe that message. Lord, would you save me? And he'll save you. There are a number of people in this room that got saved right here. Aren't you glad you did it? Aren't you glad you didn't worry about what someone else thought about you? Let me just say this in closing. If you are receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never done that before, would you please see me after service? I'd like to talk with you. And I know we got things to do and places to go and lunch to eat. But what a great and awesome day to get saved. Father, I pray for those that heard the word today. And God, I ask that it would be clear in their minds. And Lord, if there's someone here that's never been born again, might today be the day of their salvation. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would. Be seated if you would. I'm going to, yes. Unless any parents that are dedicating their children object to this being live streamed and recorded, we are going to live stream. Any objections? Going once, going twice? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and have the Hohola family come up, if you would. All right. And we're gonna get real nice and close up here, all right? You guys find a spot over here, all right? And then Tammy, if you want to stand right over here with your young ladies. Valdez family, going to get the kiddos? Okay, all right, there you go. You can come stand right here, that's perfect, all right? Let me just say, I want to give you a real quick word. I'm not going to have another sermon. You've already heard one. But in 1 Samuel, there's a lady named Hannah. And Hannah prays for a child. And she prays for years and years, and her womb is barren, and she cries before God. Ignore the cries of the tormented. Okay, he's happy.
He's saying bye.
Okay, good. All right. Little Ben, you were saying bye. That's so sweet of you, buddy. He's like, bye, guys, I broke out. See you later. He's like, Dad came and got me. You suckers got to stay here. Hey, bud. But you know what Hannah did? She finally got a child from the Lord. And you know what she did? She acknowledged that child was from God. And you know what she says? I am going to lend him to the Lord. Now, it's kind of a weird term. Because she's saying, God, you can have him now. You know what that means? I know he's always going to be attached to me because, God, I'm the vessel you allowed to bring these children into this world. And I acknowledge, Lord, that you're the one that gave them to me. And so, Lord, I want to, in return, give them back. I want to be very clear. It's not like I don't want them anymore, Lord, they're yours now. Okay? Where's the return policy on these kids, right? But it's more so a matter of, God, you have blessed me with these children. And the Bible says, and I'll say this to the Hohelas, the Valdezes, and Tammy, and you and your girls, children are an heritage from the Lord. Amen. They are God's. He's allowed us to have them for a period of time. And I know that I said that they're born with a sinner's nature, but could that ever be with her? I mean, look at that. So cute. I mean, just beautiful. And the life that they have is so special. And let me just say this, parents. All of you, God is giving you the opportunity and the privilege to raise them according to God's word. It is a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. And there will be days when it's easier and some days when it's harder. Basically, from age 13 to 20, it's harder. Okay? But all joking aside, I love each and every one of these families that's up here. I pray for you guys. Hey, buddy, we're almost done. I promise. I'm not just saying that this time. I really mean it. We're almost done. All right? But I'd like to pray over each and one of these families and pray for them by name and ask that God blesses them. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we ask for your blessing as these come here, these parents come today, Lord, to dedicate their children. Lord, we know our kids aren't perfect. We know we're not perfect parents. We know that we're flawed. Lord, I pray for Tammy as she seeks to raise her daughters by faith and be an example to them, Lord, of biblical motherhood. And God, I pray that you would give her strength. Lord, I pray that you would give her grace. Lord, I pray that you fill her with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray for Ben and Jackie. So thankful, Lord, that they got saved this year here. And Lord, the work that you're doing in their family's life, what a difference it is. And Lord, we give you the honor and glory for that. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, over the years, Lord, discernment, Lord, and Lord, that they'll find out, Lord, as we all do, some of the issues with the girls are different with the issues that we have with the boys. And God, give them discernment for each age, Lord, for each stage of life. God, I pray for the whole Hola family, Lord, and little baby Ariana. She's just a reset on the family altogether, God. And Lord, thank you for Thomas Jr. as well, Lord, in the life that he's living. Thank you that he's saved and, Lord, seeking to serve you. Lord, I pray for Ariana, Lord. I pray that you would help her, Lord, as she grows, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that she has the opportunity to, from the very beginning, Lord, and probably before she wanted to, Lord, to be exposed to the Word of God from the time she was in the womb, Lord, just hearing it her whole life. And we thank you for that. Thank you for these children at such a young age whose lives you can shape and mold into the design. Lord, I can't wait to see some of these kids grow up and watch them go to summer camp and see them make decisions for Jesus as young people. God, I pray you would spare them from the vices and the wickedness of this present evil world. God, this world wants to take our kids and defile them and change how they think about things. God, I pray for these children here today that are up here on this platform, Lord, for these parents have presented them before you, not just before the preacher, not just before the church, but God, before you. I pray that you would bless each one of them. I pray they get saved at a young age. Lord, as Tammy's kids have gotten saved, thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray that each of these kids would get saved at a young age. And Lord, at a young age, they would decide to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you for each of these children, Lord, their personalities, their characteristics. God bless them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All those are glad they did this. Would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, would you stand with me? Stand with me if you would. We'll be dismissed. And if you'd like to, you know, you don't have to. If you need to go, that's fine. If you'd like to congratulate them on taking this step, it's a huge step. I appreciate all of them doing this today. There's Grandma right within arm's reach, praise God. All right? But what a great step that they've taken. And I just want to say this. I'm thankful for each one of you, for each one of you parents, and for the little ones as well. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Sean Carney if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer, okay?
Dear God, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for the message that the pastor has delivered. Please help us to allow it to resonate in our hearts and our minds.
Amen. Amen. All right. I want to get a picture with you guys too, okay?